Another day of terror and pain in America. A horrific bomb blast. Lives destroyed. What answer do we bring as the people of God?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it's been quite a 24 hours for the people of America, most particularly the people in Boston. To all my friends listening right now on WEZE, our hearts are in particularly joined with yours, as the hearts of the nation are joined with yours. Can't imagine the trauma that many are experiencing, the literal physical trauma of having limbs blown off, the even more horrific trauma of a family member gone. The shock, the why, the question. I want to do my best to bring hope, to bring life, to bring light, to bring sobriety into the midst of this discussion here today on The Line of Fire. And I want to hear from you. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us. I'm coming your way live from Dallas, Texas this week. In a moment, I want to ask for prayer personally about some things coming up over the course of this day and week. But our focus, of course, is the bombing in Boston yesterday. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before I share any of my thoughts with you, I have some questions I want to ask you. And this is the beauty of live radio. You can share what you've been thinking, what you've been feeling with others. We are a community. We are across the country and even around the world. Folks listening live right now, we are a community. And those who are fellow believers in Jesus, we are uniquely a community. Some questions for you. Your first thoughts when you heard about the bomb blast, your first thoughts, if you're listening in the Boston area and you were there when it happened, of course, I'd like to hear from you in particular. What were your first thoughts? It's interesting to see where our mind goes when these things happen. Did it immediately go the way of another terrorist attack in radical Islam? Did it go the way of just the senselessness and insanity of human sin? Is it some trigger to you saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus? What went through your mind? What were the very first thoughts you thought? Was it, oh, no, here, the government's going to be coming our way to try to restrict even more? I'm curious to know. 866-348-7884. And if you're listening and you don't believe in God, you consider yourself atheist or deeply question the existence of God, maybe a committed agnostic, I'm curious to know what hope do you bring into the midst of this? You see, as followers of Jesus, we see horrific tragedies like this. We see terrible things like this happen. We agonize over them like everyone else. But we know that there is hope beyond the grave. We know that what happens in this world is not the end of the story. And we also know that everything human beings mean for evil, everything Satan, yes, there really is a Satan, everything Satan, the devil, means for evil, everything that comes the way of destruction can be turned for good. There's no minimizing the horror. There's no minimizing the agony. There's no minimizing the trauma. Some of you may have read that there were families who had lost loved ones at the massacre in Newtown in Connecticut, and they were there in the grandstand. They were there at the Boston Marathon when the bombs went off. Can you imagine the trauma that they could be going through now? It's as if the whole world is coming apart and becoming unglued, and you go from devastation to devastation. And yet, we as followers of Jesus know that light can shine out of darkness. What were your thoughts when this happened? 866-348-7884. I want to share with you also what Franklin Graham has to say today.
Change the world. Give us
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm looking at the Drudge Report here. It's just headlines that are posted. If you've never used the Drudge Report, and yes, it can be sensationalistic, but you've got all the horrible reports about the Boston bombing yesterday, and then massive earthquake strikes Iran, hundreds feared dead, 5 earthquakes shake Oklahoma, government says 7 dead in Venezuelan protests. This is over the new elections. You get the feeling that the whole world is coming unglued, but let me say this frankly. I look at these as tragic events. Every loss of life, every trauma experience is absolutely horrific. And yet, I don't look at this as anything unusual in the overall scheme of things in this fallen world, especially when I see as we get to the tail end of the age, whenever that is, the upheaval on planet Earth will be massive. As I said yesterday, I expect parallels, great darkness, great light. 866-348-7884. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment. What were your thoughts? What were your thoughts when you heard the news? I was doing radio yesterday and just focused on what I was doing and looking at notes in terms of things I wanted to share and directions that I wanted to go. And Joey, our engineer, just posted a comment for me on my screen. Did you hear about the bombings in Boston? So this was during the show in the second hour. So I was trying to catch up with this in the midst of what was happening. But the one statement that I made in terms of culpability, in terms of who is to blame, I said, look, we don't know who is involved yet. But when you hear the news, if it is someone that's part of a larger community of people, don't demonize everyone based over this. In fact, if it was a Saudi terrorist, if it was a Muslim terrorist, don't use that to demonize all Muslims or just to think I've got to protect myself against my Muslim neighbor who might be a peace-loving, very decent person. Any more than if you had some. Now, look, there is jihad, there is radical Islam that exists all through Islam. I'm not downplaying that. But I'm saying it's all too often easy to be reactionary. And I just had this suspicion, that somehow, and again, I hadn't been able to follow this on the news yet, that somehow the right wing was going to get blamed for this. And somehow, look, when Jared Lochner went to kill Congressman Gifford and shoot others immediately, Tea Parties, right wing, And it was actually the reverse, if anything. He was left wing in his politics. I remember the horror of the Oklahoma City bombing. And we heard, Muslim conference in the air. I was sure it had to be a Muslim. It turns out it was Timothy McVeigh, an American, anything but a Muslim. But the media has been all over this, and already there are quite a few reports that came out. I mean, CNN decided that this could be the work of, quote, right-wing extremists. New York Times made a statement about that. Boston Globe, April 15th, is also the deadline for filing federal taxes, which suggests the possibility of homegrown anti-tax extremists. The pathological possibilities abound at this point. Some have said, well, why not? Far left. MSNBC, Chris Matthews, blaming the far right. Look, friends, I'm just saying, there is a lot of anti-Christian, anti-Bible, anti-right-wing hatred in the media today and in parts of America. And whatever can be done to paint us as if we are with a Christian Taliban. I mean, that's that we're called Christianists, like Islamists, like terrorists. It's absolutely insane. And yet people actually believe this. So be on the alert for these types of things being played for political purposes. 866-348-7884. JR in Miami, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, first-time caller. Listened to you a few times down here on 1080. Yeah, everything is kind of ironic. I had just turned on, I believe it was Fox yesterday, and I have a couple of days off from work, and I turned it on, and there was a reporter, a female reporter, speaking with a male about the Guantanamo Bay situation, and that there is, it's been 11, 12 years the detainees have been there, and there's no end in sight. And all of a sudden, the news flash came on, and it was about Boston. And it didn't hit me till later on last night, you know. But my first initial thought was, when they went, they passed it into Boston. I said, I hope and pray that this was a generator or something, an accident. I have 21 years. I served in the Middle East in the military. I retired in 2011. And the first thing that came to my heart, I'm a Christian. I'm not perfect. But, you know, if we let ourselves go, our hearts do get hardened to this world. You know?
It's
and
true,
the first
sir.
Thought that came to my heart, I said, please, please make this be a generator or an electrical line that hit some gas or something, an accident. Okay? That
yeah,
was
and it
my
appears,
first
yeah, and I appreciate that. And I think many felt that way as well. A gas line exploding, obviously, was anything but that. JR, where did you serve in the Middle East?
I was in Iraq.
You're in Iraq. So you were there in the days of Saddam Hussein?
I was there during the civil war between the Shiites and the Sunnis in 2004 and right at the beginning of 2005.
Okay. When you hear about Islamic terrorism, and we don't know what happened in Boston yet, and was there something related to the
exactly.
hunger strikes and the protests in Guantanamo Bay? Is there a connection? You know, we'll see. That's a valid question, again, that radical Muslims could identify with a cause like this. But when you were there, what was your perception of Islam and Muslim views of America? Was it well? Go
yeah,
ahead.
They didn't want us there. They didn't want us involved. And, you know, I had a cross around my neck. I said, this is what you people are lacking, because I work with some translators. I said, this is what you're lacking. I said, they didn't want us. They didn't want us there. You know, they didn't want to hear about anything else. They didn't want us there. And one of the comments from the translators was, we're going to fight forever. We're going to fight. We've been fighting forever. We're going to fight forever. And that's it.
Yeah, got it. Well,
don't get involved with us. Leave us alone.
Yeah, well,
why are you here?
In fact, JR, I appreciate your service. I'm glad you were protected in the middle of it. And again, we can often be looked at as colonialists. We can often be looked at as the world's policemen. We're there to help. We're looked at as there to take over or exploit. We are not always heroes in other people's eyes, even though many of our folks have lost their lives trying to bring liberty to others, but it's always very complex and very difficult. 866-34-TRUTH. Franklin Graham calling for prayer. And you know, at a situation like this, and of course, Christians all over America calling for prayer, at a time like this, organizations like Samaritan's Purse, they'll be there. They will have counselors. They will have ministers. They will have people there to say, hey, we can pray with you. How can we help? They will have people there on a humanitarian level. In fact, it's extraordinary to see what's happening. Even with Hurricane Sandy now, we're getting reports from people who are not Christians in areas that have been hit as the weeks go on, just saying these folks are extraordinary and they're full of love and they're full of hope and they're just serving us sacrificially. That's what you do with the gospel. 866-348-7884. Steve in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire, sir.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I'm in the Boston area. I work at Logan Airport, so things are related as well. I heard it from a certain law enforcer. My first thoughts after just the horrible sadness, realizing that people were maimed and lost their lives.
Eight-year-old boy killed. Yeah.
This is just a wonder. and I think you probably feel I'm not going to specify, but I just wonder again if this was perhaps, I say only perhaps, allowed with the protection and safety of God has just further been withdrawn because of three major sins, which I'm not even going to mention. And I just wonder only about that. And could I just say one scripture that just has come to me
please,
recently?
Go ahead.
And it, you know, people, they want to use the scripture as a smorgasbord. Take what they like and don't use the rest of it because they don't like that part. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. For all these things have my hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, that trembles at my word.
Yeah. Let's bow down before God and ask for mercy on our nation.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking about the terrible tragedy in Boston yesterday. People say, where was God? God was letting people make choices. If God stepped in before any acts of evil, he would literally have to take away our free will. In fact, if he didn't take away our free will, he'd have to even remove our right to exist. And the things that we cherish most, our existence and our freedom, those are the things that allow for horrific evil and suffering in this world. You know what I wonder about? I wonder why this doesn't happen every day. I feel deeply there is the restraint of God over human hearts and lives. Otherwise, atrocities like this would happen more and more because there's so much wickedness, there's so much hatred, there's so many people scheming to do evil. 866-348-7884. When I see these things, I'm immediately struck by what a lost and fallen world this is. As much as human beings are capable of doing good in certain ways, it's ultimately a messed up world. And it's a world where our only hope is in turning to God. And that's where there's eternal life. That's where there's hope beyond the grave. That's where there's the ability to turn hopeless situations around. Reading a religion report on CNN, actually one of the rare edifying things I've read in the religious section there, about a man whose brother was shot to death. I think I mentioned this yesterday, shot to death in Harlem, New York, and he was so bitter and angry towards the people that killed his brother. And then he came to faith in Jesus, was radically transformed, reached out to one of the murderers of his brother. And this man now has found hope now that he's come out of prison, hope and having his life rebuilt. 866-348-7884. Mike in Elk Ridge, Maryland, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thank you, sir.
All right. I was just calling because I was struck by like your first comment about the Boston tragedy that happened yesterday, and you mentioned something about atheists and agnostics or whatever, and I can't remember exactly what you said, but it just kind of sounded like a challenge.
Yeah, just to repeat it for those that tuned in, I said if you're an atheist listening or a committed agnostic, I'm curious to see what word of hope and comfort you can bring in this, because a lot of comfort we have as followers of Jesus is that there is life beyond the grave, and that's one thing. Say that 8-year-old, there's the hope of seeing that child in the world to come, and then there's the ability to turn hopeless situations around where God gets involved and things that were meant for our destruction can be used for our good. So, yeah, I didn't mean it as a challenge. I hope it didn't sound hostile as much as to say I'd love to get a perspective if because I know I have atheist and agnostic listeners. So do you put yourself in that class, sir?
Yeah, I definitely put myself in that class. And well, because I was raised in a religious home, events like yesterday and the Newtown shooting, it really puts me in a position where I'm anxious to hear what the religious community has to say about those situations. And it and I'm always bedazzled by what I hear. It's just amazing the kind of things that you hear coming from what you would call a faith-based community, but it's what you would expect from a faith-based community. I mean, you're able to basically say whatever you want, or say whatever you want about God, and say whatever you want about what He's doing in situations like that, because it's all based on faith. So, I mean, to the naked eye, I mean, somebody could look at that and say, "Oh, these people are making this up." But of course, no, the religious community say, "No, we're not making this up. We know this is the truth," or whatever. But you know, you really have no evidence of the claims you're making. I mean, sure, it definitely, like you said, it gives people hope of all the things you mentioned or whatever. But there's absolutely no indication that these are reality that you guys would speak of.
Mike, let me just jump in just because of the time constraints of radio. I appreciate you listening to the broadcast. Is this the first time you tuned in, or do you get to listen from time to time?
Actually, I get to listen every now and then. I'm actually on my lunch break.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'm honored to have you as a listener, Mike, and hopefully I can bedazzle you in the coming days. but see, actually, it's because God has done so much in our lives in concrete ways that we continue to believe. I'll give you an example. There is a crazed Orthodox Jew named Jack Teitel, who's just convicted in Israel and will serve the rest of his life out in prison, I think. He killed an Arab. He tried to blow up a Jewish believer in Jesus and his family. And he brought to the family a gift. It was a certain time of the year, Jewish holiday, where you know, you exchange gifts, and just looked like a beautiful gift box. And when the young man who was home, 16 years old at that time, I think, he opened it up, it was a bomb.
Oh, my goodness.
The
wow.
bomb was so severe, Mike, it ripped up the entire apartment. It ripped up the refrigerator. I mean, this horrific bomb. So anyone near it would have been instantly killed. And Ami Ortiz is in the States now, the son, who was blown up with this bomb. He was the only one home when he opened it. He's in the States playing basketball and in college. He's had surgeries. The doctors in Israel all say it's a miracle. There's no possible way he could have survived the blast, A. B, there's no possible way, if he survived, that he would not be severely handicapped. And here he is, healthy, strong, full of hope, forgiving the man who's done these things. So, Mike, it's very, very concrete. Faith is not just an abstraction, but it reminds us of how broken and messed up the world is. Hey, stay right there. I would love to send you a two-hour debate I did with a famous agnostic, Bart Ehrman, about God and the problem of suffering. I'd love to send it to you free. We won't put your name on any mailing list or anything. If you'd like to get it, Andrew's going to come on the line now with you. If you'd like to get it, just give me your address. I'll send it out, just on the condition that you watch it and shoot me a note afterwards. But it's free to you. It's a debate I have with an agnostic. I'd love to hear your take on it. Friends, this is not our focus today, but I want to get this resource in your hand. I know that you know the important work we're doing and the value of it and the lives that are being touched. And we have a 5-DVD series of such important on how to minister to the homosexual community and what the scripture really says about these issues. It's a $60 series, 5 DVDs, but your gift of any size will send it out to you as our thank you gift. So please stand with us today, get involved, and be blessed with this very important series. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or if you just want to get it for half price, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore. And let's pray for God's visible intervention.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I am so pleased with that last call that we just received, Mike, from Maryland, listening to the broadcast during his lunch break, listens from time to time, classifies himself as an agnostic. And we're going to be sending him my DVD, my two-hour DVD debate with Professor Bart Ehrman, a well-known agnostic and New Testament scholar. Does the Bible provide an adequate answer to the problem of suffering? Boy, how relevant is that as we look at the horrors devastating folks in Boston right now affected by this tragic bombing, this sick act yesterday. And I'm so glad that you may be listening to me right now and you don't agree with my position. You don't agree with our point of view. And I'm thrilled if you're listening and agree and have a voice speaking for you here on the airwaves. That's what we seek to do as your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown coming your way live from Dallas, Texas. Here's the number to call, 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I posted a very important article on a different subject. Maybe later in the broadcast I'll be able to get to it. It is an open letter, an open rebuke, graciously written, but open and clear, to Reverend Jim Wallace. You have betrayed the word of God and the people of God. To read it, just go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the latest article, and you can read it. It's very important. It's sobering. It is a reminder for us about the confusion that exists today in the name of Jesus, in the church, and in the society. I also want to just ask for your prayers. If you could stand with me, I would really appreciate it. I'm here in Dallas, and I'm going to get back to your calls in a moment. I'm here in Dallas for the week. Each day after we finish radio, I'm doing about 5 or 6 hours straight of recording for the Messianic Jewish Bible Institute classes on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. They'll be translated into multiple languages and used as classes for students around the world. And did it yesterday. Energy, strength were great. Somehow just did not sleep well last night, and did a quick radio interview this morning for our friends with American Family Radio that host our broadcast on Sunday afternoons, and then repeat broadcast. In case you're wondering, we're on Sundays. No, it's repeat broadcast from the week on Sundays. Today, same schedule, but after we're done, then I have the privilege of going another hour Skyping to California. I don't want to mention the country, but 6 or 7 top leaders from a country in Asia have flown over to California because they are facing a crisis in their country with redefining marriage and homosexual activism. Want to learn what they can. So key leaders from around America are getting involved by Skype or in person in California. I'll be speaking to them for about an hour when the show is over. So it's a pretty intense schedule, but one where I happen to come into the day feeling a little bit exhausted. So we're leaning on the Lord. I try to use wisdom when I have schedules like this. Later in the week, we fly to Abilene, Texas, to speak at a banquet for the Messianic Jewish Bible Institute. Then an intensive weekend of teaching and speaking right from Saturday right through Sunday before we fly home. So if you could just pray for grace and strength and my voice to hold up, I would really be indebted to you. I appreciate it so much. When we come back, I want to go to your calls, your thoughts on the tragedy in Boston, and I want to give some gospel perspective. As we look at this, as we see human tragedy, human suffering, what perspective can we bring that is unique because we're a follower of Jesus? What perspective can we bring that brings hope in the midst of the pain? What perspective can we bring that brings a wake-up call as well? Back with your calls on the other side of the break.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Are you concerned that the government will use the occasion of this tragedy just as it has used the occasion of the Newtown Massacre tragedy to advance a particular agenda? As the government has advanced a very aggressive anti-gun campaign after the tragedy of the Newtown Massacre, are you concerned that there will be some type of restriction of rights, more surveillance, more supervising of activities after this? Some are. Someone raised it to me last night immediately. Just a question to consider. 866-348-7884. I'm going to go to the phones in one moment. I want to say first that these types of tragedies remind me of what a messed up world we live in. Remind me of the depth of human evil. What kind of human being would do this? What motivation could you possibly have for something that is going to inflict such horrific suffering in such a random way on people that 99.999% sure you don't even know? What kind of person would do it? A human being. That's the shocker. It's a fellow human being. Whoever did this is a fellow human being. A reminder of the depth of human sin. A reminder of how desperately we need redemption. A reminder of the fact that we need to continue to pray for Jesus to return and to do our part, the way we live and the outreach we do, to help hasten that return to bring an end to human pain and suffering. And in the midst of human pain and suffering, we have a message of redemption and we have a message of hope. 866-348-7884. Annie in Brooklyn, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Great. God sent me a message today. I was in praying for Boston, and not to make light of this situation, but we definitely have to keep our eyes on the Lord. Only light can drive out darkness. Only love can drive out hatred. And when we, like the question you just asked about the government, that passed through my mind. And then I realized if I focus on those questions and those situations, I could lose focus and I could lose, where my eyes should be, which is on the Lord. We already know that He has purpose for everything. This morning I heard part of a message that it was about Daniel's friends, I believe the Jews, when they were thrown into the fire. And the only thing that was burned off was the rope that were used to tie them up. And the ropes were burned off to free them from slavery. And this situation is a very horrible and sorrowful situation. And God will use this in some way to free people from the bondage of sin. And I just pray that Christians will stand up and remember the Great Commission, because that's our duty. The Bible was written for us as direction, and we need to remember that and stay focused on God's Word. And I know that this is a tragedy, and I feel for them. Yet we need to keep our eyes focused on God, knowing that this is part of His plan. No matter what. I mean, it's a horrible thing.
Let me just jump in and say one thing. When human beings do evil things, I don't look at that as God's plan. I recognize that God gave us free will to make these choices. So that much is His plan. But I see in the midst of it, God bringing light out of darkness, God bringing good out of evil, God bringing hope out of despair, Satan and human beings doing horrific things, and God bringing redemption and hope out of it. But Annie, you're right. We need to keep our focus on Jesus. We need to be sharing the gospel. And look, without divine intervention, without divine grace, you pull your hair out. You pull your hair out and you say horror of horrors. And then human beings, okay, we're going to tough it out. We're going to get together. There's going to be justice. We're going to come out stronger. But a lot of that is empty hope, because many people will not come out stronger after the horrors of this event. Many people's lives will be shattered for the rest of their lives without God's intervention. So we need to really look to Him, because we do have a message that makes a difference. And some of you have been to hell and back, metaphorically speaking. Some of you have been through incredible hardship, incredible loss, suffered things that if you told us, it'd be hard for us to even hear it. And you lived through it over a period of decades, and you'll say, it was only knowing the Lord that got me through, and I have somehow come out closer to Him and more compassionate through it. God can do that. But in the natural, these things are just disasters and horrific acts. That's why we need to go to the Lord and get His perspective. 866-348-7884. Savrati in Boston. Well, let's stay in Boston. Ruth in Boston, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you for taking the call. The agnostic that called you, first of all, I relate some to him 60 years ago, and I couldn't understand everything or explain things because I really didn't know an awful lot about the Bible. But all I can say to him and other people that are wondering, have a lot of questions, I was honestly blind, and God helped me see in my heart. And I don't, the Word of God just opened up to me, and I just want to live for Jesus. So anyone can have this, they just have to come to Him. But then the other thing is the tragedy in Boston. Well, of course we're going to have tragedy in this earth. Every one of us can say, oh, we've had so many crises this week or this month. But there is our strength comes from the joy of the Lord, and He won't lead us into any more temptation than we can bear. And Jesus is right there in the storm if we will just look up and see Him. And then I'm thinking of that precious little child or anyone who's lost anyone during this crisis. I had like 8 deaths in my family just in the past 2 years.
Oh boy.
And the Lord gave me Isaiah 57, 1-3. It's because I started to say, why, God? Instead, I said, well, what now, God?
And in that passage, just to jump in, Ruth, it speaks of some who were taken out of the way because they were righteous. You could have had a godly king like Josiah, who was killed at the age of 39. He foolishly went into battle, but he was killed, taken out of the way, and then there was a complete collapse of the nation and terrible suffering. Ruth, thank you for calling, and thank you for your testimony of the decades. My wife Nancy came out of atheism. When I met her, she was a hardcore atheist, 19 years old, really hostile to religion. And the first thing that she realized is that there was personified evil. She realized that there was a real Satan, there was personified evil, and then she realized, then there's a God. That's how God opened her heart. Sometimes when you look stark in the face of human evil, I taught in classes I was teaching that we were recording last night for 5 hours. Part of what I taught about was the Holocaust, and how one of the lessons of the Holocaust is how monstrously human beings can behave and how deep human evil can be. And if it's just up to human beings to turn, we go too low. We need a Redeemer who comes into our world. Let me get to one more call right now. Man, and boy, I wanted to find out about the name Man, what it stood for, but I won't be able to right now. Ruth in New York City, thank you for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Ruth.
Hello?
You're on the air, Ruth.
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing God fine.
I'm just calling about me and the father in Boston. I was thinking, my thought was that people have thrown God away. They have put Him away and hid Him away, but now everybody's going to pray. We should never put God away because He is our light. He's the one that made us. So now they bring Him out of the closet, out of the attic, and everywhere else. Don't ever throw God away because we need Him every single day.
Yeah, you know, Ruth, you're right. Sometimes people get very religious and spiritual in times of tragedy. and they start to pray or they go to church, and then when things are better, they quit. No, that God's not some crutch to lean on. He it literally is our life. His words are words of life, not just life in the world to come, but life in this world. And really, if we live without him, and I'm not speaking about people yesterday in Boston, just a generality, if we live without him and then experience tragedy and then pray, it's like, okay, work a miracle so I can go back to my old life. He's not there just as some celestial genie or bellhop to bail us out. He will be merciful and he will help. But the key is to know him and to walk with him. Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus, the Messiah, whom you sent. Eternal life consists in knowing him. Do you know him? As you reflect on tragedy today, do you know him?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to encourage you not to ask this question about what happened in Boston yesterday. Don't ask the question, why did God do this? God didn't do it. Throughout Scripture, people would do things and God made clear, I've got nothing to do with this. You're rejecting my will. You're rejecting what I want. The person who did this did not do this as an agent of God. They did it as an agent of sin, the flesh, the devil, who is the destroyer of innocent lives. When I mean innocent, I don't mean sinless, but I mean people who were not in a war zone or trying to hurt others, people who were just there for an event. We can say, why does God allow these things to happen? It's because he's given us choices. And human beings, if left to themselves, will make destructive choices. 866-348-7884. That's why God sent a Redeemer into the world, Jesus. That's why God sent his Son to die for the sins of the world. 866-348-7884. Linda in Lanham, Maryland. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, hello. Dr. Brown, it's a real privilege and honor to get to speak with you today and with the listeners. My heart goes out to the people in Boston, Massachusetts, who have been hurt, and to their families and those who have been killed. I want to make this comment. We had a big earthquake here in this area, in the Maryland, Washington, D.C. area, about 2 years ago. We'd never had anything like that before. And the Lord blessed me to use that opportunity to give out little New Testaments that I bought at the dollar store, $1 each. And even they have the words of Christ in red. And people were more receptive to those little New Testaments and tracts at the time of the earthquake than ever before when I've been trying to give out, literature. And they were more receptive to me telling them that we're living in the last days. And the Bible says that in these days, the perilous, meaning dangerous times would come, that men would be very ferocious and they would be without God and wouldn't even obey parents. And so these people, they just readily accepted it. And I showed them other things in the little New Testament, like the second Timothy chapter 3, where it talks about how things would be in the last days. Second Peter chapter 3, mm-hmm. Luke chapter 17, and Matthew chapter 24. And when I would walk away from their presence, they would be engrossed in reading it. They'd never read it before. Really? They didn't even know it was in the Bible. And they were able to have that information.
Yeah, so and Linda, just to jump in, I apologize, but such is the way of radio with time constraints. First, thank you for your very kind words. I'm so glad that you're listening and you're able to call in. And what a wonderful thing to do in the midst of upheaval to bring people a message and say, you know, the Word of God told us that people would be here. In fact, a lot of the characteristics of the evil of the last days have been here since Jesus came into the world, and when we look around and see, the Bible told us that there's going to be trouble and hardship, and in fact, the greater the upheaval. I can't imagine what it's going to look like as we get real close to the end. But Jesus said his people are literally having heart attacks for fear, men's hearts failing them for fear of what's coming. They're just so terrified about what's coming next. Their hearts are failing them. He tells us to lift up our eyes and rejoice because our redemption is drawing near. So somehow, Linda, there's that perspective of life and hope that we have. And someone says, well, aren't you exploiting tragedy? No, to the contrary. We're telling people it's a messed up world. We don't have to explain why the earthquake came or who sent it or why the tsunami came or who sent it. We don't have to know the answer. We know it's a fragile, messed up world, a fragile, messed up world. And we need to look to the Lord for this world and beyond it. Linda, thank you for doing such a wonderful work and pointing people to the scriptures and giving them the word. And let's pray now with yet another tragedy that those who received those seeds some time ago would be awakened once again. 866-348-7884. Sarah in Brooklyn. God bless you, Sarah. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Dear Michael?
Yes.
Is this a possibility? Thought has energy, and there's such a terminology as the sea of mental garbage, and each one of us add to it more or less. It reaches the fullness of the sea of mental garbage, which has an energy and creates tragedies and hurricanes and terrorism. What do you think about that? There's a sea of love and the sea of mental garbage. Every thought is an energy, including these people. What do you think of that idea?
Well, the Bible does talk about strongholds in the mind. The Bible does talk about how we cast down imaginations with the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus, Yeshua. And I would rather look at it that there is a satanic and human conspiracy. Let me give you a parallel to your thoughts, Sarah. You know, we'll talk about terrorists. We hear a lot of chatter, and then security specialists get concerned, like, wow, there's more chatter. We hear a lot of terrorists talking about plotting, planning, and they're talking about a certain place or date. It gets our attention. I think as human beings give themselves over to evil and to ugliness and throw off the ways of God and throw off the word of God, that Satan plays into that and further provokes it. And then someone who's unstable or someone who's in rebellion, it reaches that critical mass and they step over. So I look at it a little differently, but say that in the spiritual realm, if we could see what demonic forces are trying to do and then how human beings are giving place to it, we might better understand how these evil things unfold. Sarah, it's always nice to hear from you. May God's blessing and grace be yours. All right, friends, I'm going to continue this discussion into the next hour, and I'm going to be raising some other issues. I also want to share with you the letter that I wrote to Reverend Jim Wallace in terms of his betrayal of the Word of God and the people of God. I'm asking you to stand with us in the midst of an important work. This ministry, by God's grace, is making a difference in people's lives around America and in the nations and among the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And for your gift of any size, we're sending you a $60 DVD series. We've never done this before. But for your gift of any size, 5 DVDs, are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual practice? Is there such a thing as ex-gay? Can you be gay and Christian? A debate with a gay activist who says he's a Christian. How to reach out to the gay and lesbian community. Your gift of any size, we'll send it to you. Be as generous as you can, but please take advantage of this. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, during this time of tragedy, do not say, why did God do this? He didn't do it. Rather recognize we are in a sinful, fallen world and bring the message of Jesus to that fallen world. Another day of terror and pain in America. A horrific bomb blast. Lives destroyed. What answer do we bring as the people of God?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
As we look, friends, at the tragedy in Boston and continue to sort through the news and pray for victims, families who lost loved ones, yet every tragedy, a car wreck or someone just dropping from a heart attack, it's a shock, it's unexpected. Some things are all the more unexpected. So many traumatized people with limbs blown off, people in critical condition, so many injured, so many traumatized. The one thing, friends, that we don't want to say is, why did God do this? Now, do you believe God? Do you believe we should look at this and say, whatever happened is from the hand of God, God did it? I don't. I don't see that as scriptural. And I see that God has given us freedom of choice in this world and to choose evil, to do ugly things, to do horrific things. I only wonder why we don't even see more tragedies taking place. But we as God's people have something positive to say in the midst of hopelessness and despair. And I want to talk to you about that today here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, coming your way live from Dallas, Texas. Appreciating your prayers in the midst of a very, very intense ministry schedule and a little bit physically worn. I really do appreciate that. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. I have a few questions for you. One question. Are you concerned now? Here I am in Texas. I was talking to someone living in Texas last night about gun control. Obviously, Texas has a very different perspective on this than, say, California. Are you concerned that the government will use this latest tragedy to somehow restrict your rights and freedoms? Already within hours of the tragedy, media speculating could be the right, could be Tea Party or it's tax day, anti-government, right-wing extremist, something. It's quite revealing that you have the Fort Hood massacre, a horrific slaughter, Fort Hood massacre, a Muslim who had been in touch with radical Muslims, who had given a radical Islamic speech in the midst of his army service. He goes on a killing spree, and we can't even say it's Muslim terrorists. We can't even say it's an Islamic extremist. He's mentally unstable. And yet the media are ready to pounce on things. Oh, can you imagine the field day the media would have if you have some wacko who identified with some bizarre cult church somewhere and like, we got to watch out for these Bible people. We got to watch out. Could you imagine what would come out of that? So are you concerned? I'm just curious. Are you concerned that the government could overreact, as many believe it has, to the Newtown massacre and try to bring more restrictions? And do you look at this spiritually and say that God orchestrated this, or ask the question, why did God do it? Or do you have the perspective that I have, that God didn't do this? That when we say God is in control, we don't mean he makes everything happen that happens, that he orchestrates everything that happens in this world. What's your perspective on it? And if you're listening and you consider yourself an atheist or an agnostic, I'm wondering what message of hope and faith, life, encouragement you can bring in the midst of a situation like this. As a follower of Jesus, no matter how painful, no matter how horrific, no matter how tragic, we can bring a message of life and hope out of it. We can bring a message of encouragement and faith, even beyond the grave and in this world. Heard from an agnostic in the first hour. Maybe you'd like to join in. 866-348-7884. A lot to talk about. And let us keep praying.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. What were your first thoughts? You heard the news. I heard it while doing the broadcast, so I couldn't stop everything. And then right after that, recorded 5 hours of classes, 10 half-hour or 25-minute lectures. So trying to get bits and pieces of news, and then got back to my hotel room, got online, began to watch TV reports, which were pretty much saying the same thing over and again. So our hearts are all gripped and ripped by this tragedy. Reminds me again of the horrific sinfulness of human beings, the evil that we're capable of doing. This was a fellow human being or group of people. As monstrous as this is what human beings do. And we need the mercy of God. We need intervention of God. It's at times like this you also say, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. Have you read my latest article? It's on a different subject, but it's very, very important. It is to Reverend Jim Wallace, "You Have Betrayed the Word of God and the People of God." He's an advisor to the president. He is a very public minister. My hope and prayer is that he will still read what I have written and reflect on it. He has been going in a certain direction for many years now. His latest flip-flop, now saying that he endorses the redefinition of marriage, is not a surprise. Nonetheless, it is grievous because he is being hailed as an evangelical Christian leader who has now changed his views here. So if you haven't read the article, by all means, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the link for the latest article. You will find it tremendously eye-opening and important, and yet another thing to be praying for. 866-348-7884. There was a report last week that we talked about, maybe it's a little over a week old, that was leaked out where some military officials put out a list of groups to be on guard against, dangerous groups that were out there. We're talking about terror groups, dangerous groups, and number one on the list was evangelical Christians. No, I didn't make this up. Then Catholics, Orthodox Jews. A few years ago, there was a mock raid at a high school or school in New Jersey. I forget if it was a high school, but a school in New Jersey, as I recall, where they did a mock terrorist raid, how to respond, how to get ready if some horrific thing happened, what to do. And the group that was the attacking group, you know, the group posing, so the school knew, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to show you how to respond to it and so on. It was a fundamentalist Christian group that was attacking the school and was going to attack the students. Friends, if you don't see the handwriting on the wall, look again, because we are being increasingly demonized. We are being increasingly marginalized. We are being increasingly ostracized, and there are many who would like to make our beliefs and our values subject to being criminalized. You have no right to hold to these views. So it is enlightening to see how within hours of the tragedy and right up until this day that you have media leaders and government leaders saying, aha, you see, it looks like the work of some kind of right-wing extremist. David Axelrod, former advisor to the president, explained why President Obama didn't call the Boston bombings a terrorist attack. It was an act of terror. Said, I'm sure it was going through the president's mind is, we really don't know who did this. It was tax day. So maybe it's some Tea Party right-wing act. I mean, look, the fact is we don't know, unless there's some breaking news that we haven't heard. We don't know who's responsible. But instead of just speculating about all the potential characters, let's look at the last 100 terrorist bombings around the world. the last 100 terrorist bombings around the world, be it in Iraq, be it in Nigeria, be it in Israel, be it in America, be it in the former Soviet Union, what do they have in common? Well, almost all of them were by Muslim extremists. Almost all. So that would be a likely place to look. But it doesn't mean all Muslims are extremists or all Muslims are evil. But no, no. It's got to be, you know, Tax Day, Patriots Day, April 15th, Boston, Tea Party, you know. And it could be some wacko with that group. It could be an environmentalist wacko. It could be someone who had an axe to grind with the Boston Marathon. It could be a crazy gay activist. It could be a crazy fundamentalist Christian activist. It could be crazy anybody that doesn't indict a whole group. But there is this suspicion. I'm just saying, I don't want to take away from the tragedy and from the agony that people are experiencing. And we need to continue to pray that the light and hope and life of the gospel would come, and that there'd be miraculous recovery and lives put back together. And that which is meant for evil and destruction, that we'll hear from some of these people in years to come, and they'll say that this is the very worst thing that happened to them, but they came to know God, and now they have hope and life for others. 866-34-TRUTH. Ed in Clayton, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, this is Pastor Ed. How are you, Dr. Brown?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, sir.
Good. Just wanted to say I enjoy your show. It's always good to have intelligent dialogue and conversation about issues that matter and are important.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, you do a great job.
Well, thanks. Did you have any thoughts about Boston?
Yeah, you know, my first thought is that nothing surprises me anymore, because the world is getting more increasingly and increasingly wicked. As the Bible says, the love of many will wax cold, and we find evidence of that. I think the most alarming thing to me, or the thing that does surprise me, is that people are still, you know, surprised by these heinous acts and these crazy things that people are doing. But it's like, to me, it points to the fact that death is inevitable. You know, I mean, leaving this realm and this place is inevitable, and it's proven time and time again. It's also proven that we have no control over when. Anything can happen at any time. So it tells me that these are all signs and evidence that we all need to be ready.
Yeah. It's, you know what it reminds me of, sir? How mm-hmm. fragile the world is. How
it
fragile
is.
Life
it
is.
Really is.
That you know, when there's an earthquake, when there's a tsunami, when there's a tornado, we don't have to ask a lot of questions as to where did this come from, or did God send it, or was it just nature, or was it a result of human sin and judgment and a million questions. What we, and if we can get insight, we get insight for sure. But it does remind us of how fragile the human race is, how fragile the world is. Look, in Noah's day, it just took rain. The rain just kept coming, and more rain, and more rain, and more rain, and it destroyed the world. So, yeah, we need to be reminded. We need to tell people life is fleeting. You don't know when the end is going to come for any individual. We need to look to the Lord. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, you know, as tragic as it is to for an 8-year-old to lose
yeah.
their life, you know, totally outside of any type of control or forewarning or anything. I mean, it's very tragic. My heart goes out to families and the people. Of course it does. But it also, again, is a sign that, you know, it's just another alarm being rang.
Yes, it is.
To me. Yep.
It is. I agree with you. Yeah, and thank you, sir, for the kind words. I appreciate it very, very much. May God's blessing and grace be yours. Shirley in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. It's Shirley in Atlanta. I just wanted to say, well, what I want to do is I want to pray. I want to pray for America. I want to pray for Barack Obama, that the Lord Jesus would come into his heart. You know, I tell you what our basic problem is in this country. You've got Christians who ain't Christians. And you've got Christians who do not even want Mr. Obama to become a Christian. And so would you allow me to do that?
Go ahead.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, whom we believe, He is our Lord. And I thank you for the words to speak over Barack Obama. Right now, Father, I pray that you will speak to his heart and that you will bring him into the kingdom of God. And Father, we agree together today and thank you for the opportunity to do this, because Mr. Obama is our leadership in this free country. And the last thing that you would want is for the leadership of any country to not know you. So in the name of our God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent to our hearts, we thank you for the answer.
Amen. All right, thank you, and let's continue to pray for our president, for our government, for the nation, for the victims at times like this. God, show yourself strong. Speak it out in the midst of the tragedy.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what makes us different than those who don't know the Lord at a time of tragedy? 866-348-7884. When I debated Professor Bart Ehrman a few years back on the Bible and the problem of suffering, does the Bible provide an adequate answer to the problem of suffering? Wasn't it on April 15th? So it would have been exactly yesterday, just a few years back at Ohio State University. Oh, 450, 500 in attendance, thousands watching online. And what was clear is, as much as Professor Ehrman hurt over human suffering, and as much as he said that while it was questions about New Testament texts and the reliability of New Testament texts that raised questions in his mind, what caused him to lose his faith was the problem of suffering. What was clear was that he had nothing to offer except eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That was basically what his book said, enjoy life while you have it to the best of your ability. Of course, to people starving and dying, eat, drink, and be merry doesn't really work. To people going through living hell and pain, eat, drink, and be merry doesn't really work. And for those who engage in eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die, that's in a sense the greatest deception of them all. We alone can come in the midst of horrors like this and have hope beyond the grave. No, not just a myth, reality. An agnostic caller in the first hour, very, very friendly, gracious, said that we people of faith bedazzle him at times of tragedy and suffering like this. We bedazzle him with, we could say basically anything because there's no evidence for it. We could make up any explanation and say anything. And I said, oh, but there is evidence. I talked to him about terrorist victim Ami Ortiz in Israel, Messianic Jewish teenager who was blown up by a bomb. And if you see the effects on the apartment, his family's apartment behind him, he opened the box with a bomb in it. Didn't know it was a bomb, of course. This looked like a gift basket from a Jewish person at a time of celebration on the Jewish calendar. When you see how the apartment itself was ripped to pieces, how the refrigerator was ripped to pieces, then you say, how is he still alive? By the grace of God, by a miracle of God. You say, is he in a vegetable in a wheelchair? No, he's had numerous surgeries and has gone through a lot of pain and rehab and is still in the midst of it, but he's here in the States going to school and playing basketball. How? By a series of miracles. As the doctors in Israel would tell you, it is by a series of miracles. No, we know the living God, friends. We've experienced him. The living God who changed me 41 years ago and delivered me in a moment of time from heavy drug addiction. That God is real and at work in this world. I'm going to go back to the phones in a moment, but just something very little. But to encourage you, all right? I was in Italy a couple of weeks ago speaking at a national conference. And I go back to my hotel room after one of the meetings, and there's an urgent email request from friends in Canada. They are grads from our ministry school. They served as missionaries in China for a period of time. They had a relative who was in Cartagena, Colombia, and was arrested for carrying drugs. She said they were planted on her. The family knew she wasn't living right. We're hoping that God could use this to wake her up and turn her to the Lord. They emailed me. They said, do you know any ministries in Cartagena, Colombia, that we could get in touch with right now? Well, it's quite a critical thing, wouldn't you say? Well, I didn't know anybody. I haven't worked in that country. And I couldn't think of any of our contacts in that country. I'm talking about within seconds of getting that email, I get someone whom I don't know personally emailing me on Facebook with a random question about something. I said random, something completely unrelated to this topic. Could have been a Jewish background question, whatever. And the guy's last name is Cartagena. Yeah, the exact Cartagena. I'm looking at this email about Cartagena, Colombia. And do I know anyone there? And within as I'm looking at the email, I glance away for a moment. I see Facebook, someone sending me a note. I don't know who this person is. His last name is Cartagena. I thought, whoa, just coincidence? So I shot him a note back. I said, I don't know anybody, but let's pray. And I just got this random email completely out of the blue from someone with the same last name, Cartagena. Maybe God is saying, I've got my eye on this. Well, I go out from there. It's after the next meal. I sit down with one of the guest speakers, a young man in his 20s. I said, so sorry I didn't get to be in on your session. I was just other things I was working on. He said, oh, no, that's fine. I said, actually, now that I think of it, you preached in Spanish. He's an American, lives in America. I said, you preached in Spanish, didn't you? He goes, yeah, one of the translators understood Spanish, so I spoke in Spanish, and he translated into Italian. I said, oh, how'd you learn Spanish? He goes, oh, I grew up on the mission field, lived most of my life in Colombia. I said, are you serious? Colombia? I said, do you have contacts in Cartagena? I said, sure. So we put him in touch with the family. Those are the types of things that God does. These little things, these little signs that he's near, that he's with us, that he's at work. And then he intervenes in tangible ways and does impossible things. I want to encourage you, rather than drawing away from God a time of tragedy, rather than asking questions, turn towards him. He's near to the brokenhearted. If there was a room full of people and Jesus walked into that room, would he walk over to the self-sufficient, full of themselves, I don't need God, I don't need you, or would he walk over to the hurting person that was cast out by others? What would Jesus do? Well, you know his heart. And we need to join with him and recognize that right now his heart is with those suffering and in pain, and he wants to bring hope and redemption and an answer. Can we come back? I want to get to your calls, so stay with me right on the other side of the break. I will get to your calls. And if you could stand with us, you know, we're on the front lines, and on the front lines, we're taking strong stands by God's grace. And I want you to know we get a lot of opposition. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of junk that comes our way. Oh, I don't feel physically threatened. I don't think anyone's out to try to hurt me physically. I'm just saying there's a lot of junk out there. There's a lot of flack. There's a lot of opposition. And by God's grace, we want to amplify our voice all over America. Would you help us do that? Would you help us continue to speak on this station that you're listening to right now and online and around the nation? For your gift of any size, I want to send you a $60 DVD series on Can You Be Gay and Christian? What does the Bible really say about this? Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual practice? How do we reach out with compassion to the gay and lesbian community? Is there such a thing as ex-gay? Was Jesus tolerant? Even a two-hour debate with a gay activist who claims to be a born-again Christian. It's only $60. You can order it for half price online at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore. So that's a special offer right there. But for your gift of any size, I want to send this out. Those who can be generous, do so. Those who have little, that's fine. We want to send it to you. I want to equip you. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Can I give it to you one more time? 1-800-278-9978. Back with some important reflections in the light of tragedy.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast as we continue to reflect on the tragic events that took place in Boston yesterday. Friends, I don't say to God, why did you do this? These were people doing things. This was human effort, human sin, driven by Satan himself. Why do I say that? Well, Satan's the murderer from the beginning, and he works evil through people, but human beings make their choices. C.S. Lewis said, there's no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. There is a warfare going on. There are fallen human beings doing horrific, destructive things, and we can come with a message of hope and redemption in the midst of the tragedy and pain. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. You can connect with me on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook, or follow me on Twitter at Dr. That's D-R Michael L. Brown at Twitter. What were your thoughts when you heard the news? It was about this time yesterday that the news was breaking. Within about a half hour of this time yesterday, news was breaking. What were your first thoughts? What's your spiritual reaction to this? And do you have a concern that the government will seek to use this as a ploy to get further control over the lives of citizens? Ron in Ogden, Utah, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call. A couple of things, a couple of observations. I was at work yesterday and didn't find out till late in the evening that these events had occurred. And of course, it's shocking. And one point, when you first hear it, it's shocking. There's another element where it's kind of numbing. We are becoming so accustomed to these events that you become desensitized to it, and it just becomes another part of a news cycle, which is tragic. I want to address a couple of points, though. Years ago, there was a book written by a rabbi titled, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People?
Your rabbi, Harold Kushner.
Yes, correct. And I assume by his title, I haven't read the book, but I assume he's not a believer in Jesus Christ. And really, though, however, the title kind of encapsulates the problem with the basic theology of every human being. And that is the concept that we are good people entitled to a long, healthy, robust life. When the real question that should be asked is, why do good things happen to bad people? What it is a reflection of the grace and abundant mercy of God, that when he removes his hand and evil fills that vacuum, and they do evil works like this, and we say, how can God let this happen? As though we deserve goodness and blessing and life and abundance.
Yeah.
When in fact we deserve hell. And
you know, Ron, what surprises me is that we don't see this happening more often. What surprises me is that horrific events like this are not happening almost every day of the week, given human propensity to evil. You know, sometimes driving down the road or driving on a highway at 70 miles an hour and knowing how irresponsible people can be, and knowing how easily we could be texting or how many people are drunk driving or overtired. Sometimes I think it's amazing we don't have 10 accidents a second on the road just with what could happen. I look at the human race in a similar way. And, you know, Rabbi Harold Kushner, great sensitivity to suffering, saw it tragically in his own family firsthand with one of his children. And yet his view was ultimately that somehow God couldn't do certain things, that they were somehow beyond his control. And of course, you're absolutely right. Human beings do evil. What does God do about it? He sends his son into the world to die for us. He sends his son into the world to die for our sins. He doesn't stand by and say, I damn all of you. He says, here's a way to have eternal life. I'll pay for what you did. That's the gospel.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Let us not underestimate the depths of human sin. Let us not underestimate the effects of human sin. Billy Graham said this: don't ever underestimate the terrible consequences of Adam and Eve's rebellion against God. Like a deadly virus, their sin infected everything, not only the human race, but all creation. It produced a crop of bitter fruit that is still with us. Let me ask you a question. All right, let me ask you a question. Why do we have death in the world today? Why does anyone die? Why do we have sickness in the world today? Why do we have hospitals? Why do we have prisons? Why do we have armies? Why do we have police? Oh, you see where I'm going. Why do people have guard dogs? Why are there nuclear armaments? And on and on and on and on. Because we're a fallen race. It's a fallen world because of human sin. In God's perfect kingdom forever, in his heavenly kingdom, there are not going to be hospitals because no one's going to be sick. Now, there are plenty of people that are sick today, and it has nothing to do with personal sin. In other words, it's not that they went out and sinned and got smitten with sickness. It's that we're in a fallen world and people get sick and people die. There are not going to be any hospitals in God's perfect heavenly kingdom in the world to come. There are not going to be any prisons. They're not going to be any armies. Oh, there'll be saved soldiers and saved doctors and saved nurses and saved prison guards and saved former prisoners and on and on. They're not going to be pharmacies selling drugs. They're not going to be people having nervous breakdowns. You won't need a guard dog to protect your heavenly home. You won't need to be armed. You won't need to be carrying. Why? Because God will be there and sin will be not. Sin will not. Will be not. What kind of is that bizarre King James thing? Sin will not be there. Sorry for my slip of the tongue. Sin is the thing that's messed everything up. We need to hate it in all of its forms. You know, when I see a tragedy like yesterday, of course, like everyone, your heart's ripped. You think of the victims. For me, I try to imagine the trauma and family member lost. And who could have ever dreamed or expected it? Limb blown off. What kind of force does it take to do that? How many people in critical condition right now fighting for their lives? And if they make it, that their lives are forever affected in this world, naturally speaking. Okay. We see that, and then I'm reminded of how much evil there is in this world. I'm reminded of how fragile this world is. I'm reminded of how desperately we need the Lord. I'm reminded of how we need him to return and establish his perfect kingdom right here on the earth. And I'm reminded of the fact that we all need to be ready to be with God. I don't get into a lot of end time prophecy teaching. I certainly don't get into pre-trib rapture teaching personally. I'm not waiting for any second, just Jesus is going to appear and I'll be zapped out while driving my car. I'm living in such a way that I should always be ready to meet God and always be looking for his appearing and always be living my life as if this could be the last day and I want to be honoring God, and I might have 50 years ahead to serve him and I want to be planning prayerfully and working towards it. What a fragile world this is. What a world in which we who know Jesus have hope and have life. And some of you have been through horrific tragedy. And you know, not to make this trite, but these things, as they say, can make us bitter or they can make us better. They can make us bitter. They can make us better. And in this particular case, we need to pray for divine intervention, for gospel witnesses, for gospel servants, to have open doors into the lives of those affected, because thousands, tens of thousands are traumatized. Millions could be traumatized in different ways because of this. we could get harder, we could get more cavalier, or we could see the terrible evil of human sin. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, 866-34-TRUTH. And yes, you do have extremist groups that hate America so much. Extremist Jordanian Muslim Salafi group. The head of it says he's happy to see the horror in America. He said American blood isn't more precious than Muslim blood. This is Muhammad al-Khalabi, convicted in an Al-Qaeda linked plot to attack the U.S. and other Western diplomatic missions in Jordan in 2003. Quote, let the Americans feel the pain we endured by their armies occupying Iraq and Afghanistan and killing our people there. That mentality is going to be felt as well. We are hated by many, and they will mock human suffering. We don't want to respond with anger. We don't want to respond with hatred of our own. We don't want to respond with ugliness of our own. Instead, we want to respond with the hope and life of the gospel. We want to overcome evil with good. We want to overcome hatred with love. Friends, that is what Jesus Revolution is all about. Let's go to the phones. Lee in Charlotte, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. How you doing? I love your show.
Thank you.
I would like to suggest that the goodness and mercy of God was not absent at during the Boston incident, because I want to compare it to 9/11. And I heard from Todd Friel, when the terrorists planned on doing the destruction that they did, they had planned for a significant amount of more people to be killed and murdered. And it wasn't. They wasn't successful with all the destruction that they want to accomplish. And I like to say that God's hand was very evident with the amount of people that whoever did it might have wanted to kill. And also the response, and God hands over the response, the quick responders, them working together well. I think that God's hand was very present in assisting the situation to not be as bad as it could have been. And last but not least, I know someone personally, my supervisor at work, his son was in Boston, and he had wanted to go to the race that particular day. And he would have been right there DJing near the event, and all of a sudden, for some reason or another, he didn't go. And so he very well might have been hurt. And so right now he's praising God because it didn't happen. So that's all I want to say.
Oh, yeah, and Lee, there's no question that we'll hear more stories like that, that we'll realize that things could have been far, far worse. And, you know, with 9/11 in New York, my wife and I being New Yorkers were affected directly. Her brother was killed in the World Trade Center. We've heard so many stories of people who just for some reason didn't go to work that day. For some reason, some strange thing happened. They were late by the time they got to work. The first time they were late, you know, thus and such happened. Or they went a different route, or they took someone to school first or whatever. And we've heard this from believers, and it's been astounding to hear, and you know, the mercy of God. The painful thing is, of course, is that there are any victims. You know, my wife's brother used to work in the World Trade Center, but he wasn't anymore. He was there just for a trade show that particular day. And that's the thing, people that were just there at the Boston Marathon that never would have been. But absolutely, I agree. There's a restraining hand of God. And often mercy in the midst of this. Things could be far, far worse. Thanks for reminding us of that, Lee. I do appreciate it. 866-348-7884. There were tornadoes in the South, in Alabama a couple of years ago. Devastating. Mississippi, some other areas got hit terribly. And we had some of the staff of Fire School of Ministry of our school go down with some students, and they just worked, 16 hours in a day, 18 hours, just until they were bone tired, exhausted, just helping people. And Christians came from different parts of the country, and they were describing the devastation to me. They said, you look at the city map, or you could look, say, from a satellite map, and half of it's just wiped out, and the other half totally normal, untouched. and people literally lost everything, and houses razed right down to the foundation, or just a mass of rubble. And in the midst of it, miracle stories. Even some of the most horrific things you heard, then you found out about how people were coming to the Lord through the tragedy. But what was also interesting is you had trucks there with humanitarian supplies, like Operation Blessing from the 700 Club, or Samaritan's Purse from Franklin Graham. And they were there through the contributions of Christians and Christian workers working sacrificially to bring help in the midst of suffering. But, you know, there was no truck from an atheist foundation anywhere to be seen helping out. Isn't that fascinating? We will be back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. I asked for prayer the first hour, if I could ask for it in the second hour. I'm here in Dallas recording classes, two classes for the Messianic Jewish Bible Institute, which is an international school, students in quite a few different nations being prepared for Jewish ministry. I'm doing two full classes on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. Now, I already have a 22-hour lecture series on this, but it doesn't work with the time constraints and the length of the classes, so we're doing one just for them. It'll be ultimately translated into numerous languages and used to train students all over the world for Jewish ministry. So when we finish today, we've got about 5 hours of recording to do, after which I then have to Skype California for about an hour plus Q&A, I guess. There are leaders in an Asian nation, don't want to mention specifically which nation. They contacted a well-known pastor in America and said, we need help with the issue of homosexuality, homosexual activism, redefining marriage. In fact, Joey, clip number two, I want to play that. We're dealing with the issue of redefining marriage, and we need help. And they're flying over six or seven, I guess they're here now, six or seven of their top national leaders. And different leaders, key leaders from America, will be participating, some face-to-face, flying into California, others like me by Skype. And then all of this is being recorded either on site or in California or where we are doing our talks. They're being recorded, and then our talks will then be made available to a network of 15 or 16,000 pastors, something like that. So once we finish here, radio is my first focus, priority, as you know, my first ministry stewardship. When we finish here, then good 6+ hours of just steady recording, 6-7 hours. So if you could pray, I didn't sleep well last night. Don't know why. Did not sleep well last night, the exact opposite of the night before. I came in to do radio feeling very tired, and I thought, I haven't even started the day, and I'm wiped out, and I'm going to be sharp and clear-headed. And I said, Lord, I'm trying to rest. I'm trying to be responsible, trying to do the right thing, and I just need some grace and help. And I'm feeling stronger by the moment. This is not a matter of being macho or tough or producing. This is a matter of saying, Lord, I'm tired, and I'm stretched, and I need your help tomorrow. A similar schedule, adding in a chapel service in the morning, and then a flight to Abilene Thursday to speak at a Messianic Jewish banquet there. And then all my friends in Greater Dallas-Fort Worth, Saturday, Baruch Hashem congregation, led by Marty Waldman, I will be speaking in the morning and then doing a special class in the afternoon. And Sunday, if it's sold out, it may be possible to watch online. Not sure. Okay, just listen to this news clip from France. You want to hear something eye-opening and somewhat shocking. Just switching gears for a moment here. Listen to news from France about the uproar over redefining marriage.
Opposition to France's gay marriage law has brought together a fascinating coalition of Christians, atheists, and homosexuals.
Mm. Emmanuel Ducamp is with the gay group HomoVox. He says the bill goes too far.
It goes too far in the sense that it makes the majority of the population live under a law that has been cast for a minority, which I don't consider fair. We have two parents of different sex. Wherever we are heterosexual or we are homosexual, there can't be two parents of the same sex. It's not natural.
Protesters gathered in Paris last week to stand against anti-homosexual violence after a gay man was severely beaten when he and his boyfriend were walking through an immigrant section of Paris. Violence against homosexuals is said to have tripled, and some fear the same-sex marriage law will bring more street attacks from France's growing Muslim population. While a slim majority in France supports same-sex marriage, they do not support homosexual couples adopting children. But the bill is almost certain to become law anyway.
Yeah, this is so volatile. Of course, we absolutely deplore violence against homosexual community, and if you're not happy with two men walking down the street holding hands, you don't beat them up and you don't attack them. But this is where things are going, as you have the rise of conservative Islam in Europe and then the rise of radical gay agenda at the same time, these clashes. But even a country like France, which is nominally Christian and nominally Catholic, that rallies of up to a million people saying don't redefine marriage, and gay activists saying don't redefine marriage. It's a crazy world we're living in today. I wrote an open letter of rebuke to Reverend Jim Wallace, head of the Sojourners. You have betrayed the word of God and the people of God over these very issues. It's respectful, and it's a plea for him to turn back to God and to the Word in these issues. These are such critical times. And then we look and see human sin, human insanity, the ugliness of what takes place in this world. It reminds us we've just got to go to the cross, friends. We've got to throw ourselves in to follow Jesus. And a side note to those who are entertained by gratuitous violence and go to movies and watch movies and play video games filled with gratuitous violence, just ask yourself if that's pleasing in the sight of the Lord. When you see the reality of the horror of violence, just ask yourself if this is the kind of thing we should be entertained by. I want to appeal to you to stand with us. It's amazing to see who listens to this broadcast. We have non-believing rabbis listen. We have gay activists listen. We have agnostics and atheists listen. We have Christians from every walk of life listen. We have an ability to touch a lot of people, and we do it as a partnership. We do it as a sacred trust together. So I want to ask you to stand with us for your gift of any size. We're doing something this week we've never done before. In fact, we did it with some trepidation, but I really wanted to. We get so many questions. How do I reach out to the gay and lesbian community? Can you be gay and Christian? What does the Bible say? Is there such a thing as ex-gay? What about Jesus being tolerant? We cover all this in great depth. It's a $60 video series, 5 DVDs, yours as our thank you gift for your gift of any size. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Those who can be generous, stand with us and do that. Those that have less, please take advantage of this so we can send this to you for your gift of any size. 1-800-278-9978. Or if you just like to order it for half price, which is a great discount, go online, askdrbrown.org, and just click on the online bookstore. My bottom line today, the Word tells us that the righteous will never be shaken. That means no matter how much this world shakes and quakes, we, friend, can take refuge in God and not be moved.